scripture reading today, Luke 11:1. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples."
Well, good morning. Good to see everybody. We have several that are back with us today that have been gone because of illness. And Linda's right down here front. She's been gone for a while now. And she says that she still can't drive. And, of course, Oklahoma wishes that I couldn't drive. But, yeah, she still can't drive, but she's here today. Her daughter and son-in-law brought her today, and so we're so glad to see you back with us, Miss Linda. We have several that have been gone and that are here, and I just want y'all to know that the reason they're here is because of the power of prayer. You agree with that? I want you to know that my lesson today actually has two parts to it. First part is things that you've heard before, probably 100 times. Second part is things you haven't heard before and probably haven't ever heard it. But the second part is the part that I want to concentrate on. Because the first part is something that we are very familiar with. It's called the model prayer. A lot of people call it the Lord's Prayer. Y'all know what that is, don't you? Okay? In the model prayer, in the Lord's Prayer, I want you to know that a lot of people memorize that and then just say it over and over and over again. Okay? Now, that was not the purpose of this model. The purpose was to teach people as to how they should pray. And so what I want to do to start off with is go through this pretty quickly, because I've gone through this before, but it's something that we need to realize. The apostles in Luke chapter 11 asked Jesus to teach them how to pray the way that John taught his followers how to pray. Now, if you were here Wednesday night, we went over this section. And I told you that we were going to go back over this section again today, but there will be more added to it. So there's going to be more added to it. Now, here's the key. Jesus laid out a model for us to follow as to how to pray. And so as we look at it, we see it in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, and then we see it also again here in Luke chapter 11. Virtually the same words, and I used the King James Version in this because the King James Version in Mark 6, the King James Version in Luke 11 are basically the same. There's only a very few differences. Now, if you see different versions of the Bible, you'll see more differences. But these are very similar, so I wanted to use those so that you'll be able to compare the two. Okay? And to start with, how are you, Mitt? Good to see you. To start with, notice how the prayer begins. The prayer begins by addressing God the Father. Who did Jesus pray to when Jesus prayed? God the Father. Okay? We talk about God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit being one, but also realize in that God the Father is the Father. Jesus is the Son. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. They are different. They have different purposes. But they are one in that they have one purpose, and that is to do the will of God. That's how they won. Jesus prayed to God. We today are to pray to God. We don't pray to another deity. We don't pray to Mary. We don't pray to some other individual. We pray specifically to God. Do we not? So when we start our prayers, realize that you should address who you're praying to. So I usually start all my prayers and say this, our dear Heavenly Father, I'm addressing my prayers to God the Father. That's how we should be. That's how all of us should be. And notice the second part of that is that immediately upon addressing God the Father, what did both Matthew and Luke tell us to do? Address God the Father and give Him praise. Give Him praise because God is worthy of the praise He receives. God is worthy. Then, as we see both in the model prayer and in Luke chapter 11, it starts off and it says, your kingdom come. Well, I want y'all to know this. The kingdom has already come. This was before Jesus had died. This was before Jesus had gone to the grave and taken our sins with Him. And it was before He was resurrected. So therefore, the prayer was before that time. But realize also in this that we don't say that. Because the kingdom has already come. And every one of us in this room can be a part of that kingdom. If we believe and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, guess what? We are part of our kingdom. And therefore we have a place with Him in heaven. So that part of the prayer is something that was used during that time frame, but is not something that we need to worry about today. But the second part of that is very important. We pray for God's will to be done. Pray for God's will to be done. What is God's will? That all should come to repentance. That none should perish. Well, boy, I can pray that all day. That I not perish, but I come to repentance, and that I have a place with Him in heaven. This is something that all of us should do. Daily. That we pray for God's will to be done today. We pray for God's will to be done every day. And we pray that God's will to be done for all people. That all people will come to know God. This is something that we should do. And notice the next part is to pray to God that we receive the things that we need today. Jesus is very specific about don't worry about the things of tomorrow. Worry about today. And He says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And I've told you this before, my wife often calls me sufficient. Because if I'm giving her a hard time, she'll look at me and she said, you're being sufficient. Yeah. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So focus on today. Pray for today. Pray that I receive today what I need. And in that, pray that we should forgive or be forgiven our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, do you really want that? I asked this question Wednesday night. Is that what you really want? Or do you really want to be forgiven like you would like to forgive others? Realize that if you put a stipulation on it to be forgiven the way that you forgive others, have you been forgiving others? I'm going to give you a hint as to how to do this. If you realize how much you've been forgiven, it becomes really easy to forgive others. But you've got to realize how much you've been forgiven. That's where it starts. If you think you're better than everybody else, then you're not forgiving of others. You become arrogant. Just like the Pharisee who prayed versus the tax collector who prayed. If we realize how much we've been forgiven, it becomes real easy to forgive others. Real easy. So realize that. That's the hint. That's the key. To forgiving others is to realize how much you've been forgiven. So we pray to forgive us our trespasses as we have forgiven others theirs. And also in Matthew, if you look at verses 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter 6, you realize that Matthew tells us there through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that if you don't forgive others, what's going to happen? You're not going to be forgiven. You got to forgive others. Guys, have y'all played ball this week? Did y'all have any bad calls by the umpires? Did you forgive him? Folks, we got to forgive others. Forgive others their trespasses. Forgive those umpires when they make that bad call. Okay? Because you know, I'm going to tell you, after 27 years of coaching, they make bad calls. They make a lot of them. Okay? Realize that we have to forgive others, because if we don't, we ourselves won't be forgiven. Then it goes into, lead us not into temptation. Folks, here's the key to that. One thing is, know where you are tempted. Know where your weaknesses are. And avoid those weaknesses. Avoid those areas. If you know that you get upset when you watch somebody play ball and they lose or whatever and you get upset, if you know that, then quit watching them. If you know that if you turn on the television and you see something on the television, watch the news or something, and it makes you mad, then doggone it, turn off the news. Amen, you betcha. Folks, I want you to know that there are things that make me angry. There are things that make you angry. There are things that make you fall short. There are things that tempt you. And if you stay away from those things that tempt you, then guess what? You're not tempted. You're not tempted. And so we should pray every day for God not to lead us into the things in which we are tempted. Help me to stay away from those things. And that should be something we pray every single day. Because every day you will be tempted. Believe me, you will be tempted. And then notice also in Matthew chapter 6, it doesn't do this in Luke chapter 11, but in Matthew chapter 6, you end the prayer with what? Praise. You start the prayer with praising to God, and you end the prayer praising God. Realize that is incredibly important. God is worthy of our praise. He should be lifted up daily, and we should praise His holy name. If you cannot think of anything in this world to pray for, you need to pray for the gift of Jesus Christ that came from God the Father, because He so much loved us that He wanted us to be with Him in eternity. Folks, I can pray that all day, every day. And we should praise God for it. Now, this was the model prayer. This part of the sermon deals with our attitude toward prayer. Our attitude toward prayer. is your prayer life? There is not one person in this audience that has a perfect prayer life. There is not one person in this audience that could not do better. Not one. And I don't care if you think that you could not do better, because I'm telling you, you can. To pray without ceasing means exactly that. Is your prayer life, is your life prayerful? Do you pray when you get up in the morning? Do you pray when you go to bed at night? Do you pray before you eat? Do you pray when you see the sunrise or the sunset? And we had to move the clock up today, so I got to see the sunrise. Sometimes that's overrated. But I want you to realize that the beauty that God has given us is something that we can be grateful for. And when we see those things in our life, you know, we've got these little purple flowers that are coming up now. Most people call them weeds. My wife loves them. Says, oh, look at the purple flowers. I said, mowing season's coming. You know? Realize, God has given us great beauty. And you know what? I can be thankful for that. I can praise God for that. But when you see something, when you think of something, pray to God. Being thankful. If you need help, pray to God. Because you're calling upon the Creator of the universe. And that Creator can do all things. So realize what kind of life we have. Is it prayerful the way it should be? Notice what Jesus did often in the Scripture. He would withdraw himself from everybody else and he would go and pray. He had the greatest prayer life of anyone who has ever walked the face of this earth. And he took time to pray. That means turning off the TV. That means turning off your phone. That means going into a closet and closing the door and not allowing anybody to interfere with your time that you have with God. How is your prayer life? Realize it could be better. Secondly, be persistent in your prayers. One of the things that we think about, and you know, we don't want to push too hard. Well, sometimes God wants you to push too hard. He wants you to lift up His name in prayer. He wants you to ask. God, help me through this. And one of the things that I always tell people is this. In your prayers, make sure, in your persistence, make sure that you pray for God's will to be done. Not man's will, God's will. Remember Jesus in the garden, He prayed that this cup pass from Him. He didn't just do it once. He did it three times. But at the end of all three times, what does He pray? Not my will, but let your will be done. Not my will, but let your will be done. In the model prayer, what is it? Pray that His will be done. Always, always pray for that. Be persistent. If you have a problem that's bothering you, go many times to God in prayer. Ask for help. There's nothing wrong with that. Thirdly, be patient. Yes, this is where I fall short. This is where a lot of us fall short, because we are of the age, and I went through all these seminars and education and stuff, and they told us that our children are of the age that they want instant gratification. 10 minutes, they're done. That's why all the comedy shows and stuff that you watch on television are no longer than 30 minutes. And they have at least 10 minutes worth of commercials, so the comedy show is only 20 minutes. Realize that that's exactly, they do that on purpose. They solve the problem. They start the problem at 6, and by 6:30 they've solved the problem. Instant gratification. We oftentimes want the same thing. We want instant gratification. But that may not be part of God's plan. Part of God's plan is that you need to walk with faith. And therefore, He may be working on your faith. But also part of God's plan may be that no, you don't get it this way, but in a little while, you're going to get it this way. If you study the Old Testament, why were the Israelites in bondage for 400 years? God told them why. It's because certain things had to happen in order so that they could be free. But other things had to happen first. So realize that those things have to happen first. So be patient. And while you are being patient, realize that God is in control. If you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open to you. God is in control, and therefore be patient, knowing that He is going to take care of you. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Be positive. Pray, knowing that God will answer your prayers. He may not answer them the way that you want, but you know what? He's going to answer them. And sometimes, folks, realize this, sometimes His answer may be no. Because He knows what you need far greater than you know what you need. And that's why Jesus prayed, "Let your will be done." He knew that we needed Jesus to pay our debt for sin. Because without that, guess what? None of us could be saved. God knows more than we know. God understands more than we understand. And there's a reason why God may say no. And the greatest prayer, in my opinion, ever given, God answered with a no. And that was the prayer in the garden. God told Jesus no. When man brought his son to the apostles, because what medical doctors say today is that this boy had epilepsy. And he brought his son to the apostles to heal. And the apostles couldn't do it. And so then he brings him to Jesus. And when he takes him to Jesus, Jesus asked the apostles, said, "Why couldn't you do this?" And the answer that Jesus gave them was that this type of situation required prayer. And that it was because of their lack of faith, the apostles' lack of faith, the apostles' lack of prayer, the apostles' lack of following God and following Christ, that they couldn't do it. And so Jesus says, how long do I have to stay with this perverse generation? And then Jesus talks to the man. And he asks the man, he says, do you believe that I can do this? And the man responded. And he said this, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Folks, a lot of times the reason why we don't see prayer working in our lives is because we are the ones with little faith. Sometimes what we need is we need to be just like this man whose son had these epileptic fits. And we need to ask God to help me with my unbelief. Help me when I fall short. Help me to have a stronger faith in you. Help me with my unbelief. And folks, I'm going to tell you, as far as I am concerned, me personally, this is my prayer a lot. I grew up in a time when everybody said, oh, if you'll just work hard, if you'll pay the debt, then you will receive great blessings and you're going to, you know, everything's going to go great. You're going to get all these raises and you're, that didn't happen. I am not rich when it comes to earthly wealth. But I am richer than you can imagine when it comes to God. So sometimes I just need God to help me with my unbelief. Help my faith to grow. That's why when James tells us to consider it all joy, consider it all joy when you have trial and tribulation. Because it helps your faith to grow. Folks, it wasn't because of the man's lack of faith that his son wasn't healed. It wasn't because of the boy's lack of faith that his son wasn't healed. It was because of the apostles' lack of faith. Let your faith grow. And in the process, let your prayer life grow with it. The more you see God working in you, the greater your faith will be. Help me with my unbelief. Help us to grow together. Help us to work together. Help us to bring others to the kingdom of God. Help us to know that you are with us. And that you will never turn away from us. God is here. God is now. God is with you. Pray for help in time of need. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need to be baptized, we want to give you that opportunity to come all together.